stand with me as we prepare to share with you the word from the Lord coming from Jeremiah chapter 29, beginning at verse 11 and ending at verse 14. It reads, "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you hope and a future. Then you will call upon me and come and pray to me, and I will listen to you. You will seek me and find me when you seek me with all of your heart. I will be found by you, declares the Lord." This is God's word. The message this morning is Knowing God, Part 5, Discovering Your Purpose in God. You may be seated. I've been preaching a long time now, and I'm just glad to say that God has been good. Better to me than I've been to myself, and yes, better to me than I've been to him. And there's a particular question that strongly is on the minds of both new and old believers in Christ. I've been asked this question since I began preaching in 1976, long before I knew how to give a correct response to the answer to this question. And the question is, Reverend, how can I know what my purpose is in life? If this has been a burning question on your mind, then I want you to stay with me. Stay with me. Stay with me until the end of the message, and I will have an answer for you. Reverend, how can I know what my purpose is in life? To understand your purpose is to first understand that God created you for himself. We weren't created as random beings to just randomly live in this world in which God created. No, God created us for himself. God wired our personalities and situated us within the context of our life's location for his desired will. Yes, he placed us where he wanted us to be in life. And he did that when he wanted us to be there. We were created for God, by God. And until we know this, embrace this, and accept this, we will spend all of our time in search of answers that you will never find outside of this truth. We were all created for the purpose of worshiping and honoring God and accomplishing God's plan for his kingdom, for his glory. 1 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 6 says, "Yet for us there is but one God, the Father from whom all things flow, and we exist for him. And one Lord, Jesus Christ, by whom are all things, and we exist through him." Did you hear that? We exist for God, but we also exist for God through Jesus Christ. As believers in Christ, we must understand that we exist for God because of our faith in Christ. Just as Jesus' ultimate will was to do the will of the Father, now that we are the children of God by the life-breathed Spirit of Christ in our souls, we exist for the same reason. That is, to do the will of our Father. In other words, our purpose should be his purpose. That's why it's important that above all that we want and desire in life, God must be in our first place. God must be our priority in life. If your life lacks purpose, if your life lacks peace, if your life lacks stability, the first thing you should ask yourself is, am I living for God? When God is given first place in our lives, then all things in your life will be held together by God. When God is given first place in our lives, when He's our priority for living and existing, then God has the responsibility of caring for us and keeping us. But as long as we try to plan our own ways, to do our own things, then God will not interfere with our choices and our plans. But if He is not given first place in your life, then you should not expect for God to keep your life together. For many Christians, saved by God's grace, for many Christians, God is not a priority. God is not first in their lives. They place Him in a convenient position, close enough to Him when they call on Him, when they need Him, that God, they feel comfortable God will answer for them. Their understanding of God is that God is always there for them, no matter what. But they fail to realize that God refuses to be treated like a distant relative. God refuses to be anything other to us than a close and intimate Father. Just as I refuse to take second place to Sister Tony's life, God refuses to occupy anything other than first place in our lives. And it's not because God is demanding and selfish, no. It's because the best life that we could possibly ever live is when we place our lives into the hands of God. Our best lives are given to us by God because God has an everlasting love for us, and His desire for us is to do us no harm but bless us in our lives. Listen to what it says in Ephesians, the first chapter, verses 9 and 11. It says, "And He, God, made known to us the mystery of His will." Are you listening? "According to His good pleasure, which He revealed to us in Christ. For in Him we are also chosen for the purpose of His will." Do you hear that? We are chosen, we are called, we are saved for nothing else than to fulfill God's will. This scripture does not get any clearer as to what God requires of us. We are chosen for His purpose. God makes known His will to us in Christ. God didn't save us just to make us happy and carry us to heaven. No, God saved us, first of all, because He loves us. But He saved us, secondly, that we might do His will on earth as it is done in heaven. We are saved for the purpose of God's will and God's will alone. It's not our will, but the will of Him who saved us. And if we are faithful in our walk with God, He will reveal to us the mystery of His will. If we are faithful in our walk with God, if we seek after God and desire His good favor, if we remain close to God and allow for Him to direct our paths, He, God, will reveal to us the mystery of His will. We all know David, don't we? What's the first thing that comes to mind when you think about David? He's a man after God's own heart. I thought it was in the right place. He was a man after God's own heart. David knew God better than most of us will ever know God. For he was a man, though flawed and imperfect, whose entire life was to do the will of God. He understood, even as a young boy, that his purpose was to serve and glorify God. Listen to how Luke, the writer of the book of Acts, captures David's life. He says, "For when David had served God's purpose in his own generation, he fell asleep. He was buried with the fathers." David served God's purpose in his generation. Do you hear that? That's what we are called to do. These beautiful babies that we're singing this morning, they are called to serve God in their generation. The young and vibrant and flowing teenagers, they are called to serve God in his generation. Every generation, God calls individuals to serve him. And that's what we are called to do. That's what we are saved to do. For the Christian, living for God should be our priority, with everything else in life secondary. Every generation of believers, from the youngest to the oldest, must be believers whose lives are committed to serve this present age. This means that we must go and search and seek and find and deliberately and intentionally question God and seek God in order to find out, what will you have me to do? Why did you create me in this time and in this space? What is my life all about? What is my purpose? This is what knowing God is all about. When you know God, you'll discover your purpose. When you walk with God, the mystery of his will reveal to you God's will for your life. And this is what knowing God is all about. I believe that David's philosophy for life was in line with the old hymn that shook the rafters and the souls of the old school Baptist church, when they would sing, "A charge to keep I have, a God to glorify, a never dying soul to save and fit it for the sky. To serve this present age I have, my calling to fulfill. Oh, may it all, my power engaged, to do my master's will." David's experience with God was not limited to just going to church, but his experience with God was an experience of life with God. Experience in God in every aspect of his life. David just didn't look forward to coming to church and believe that he was fulfilling God's will for his life, but he experienced God in everything and all things. And through that, he discovered that he was to be king of Israel. That's what it means, my sisters and brothers, to be a man or a woman after God's own heart. Therefore, to not know your purpose is an indication that you don't know God as much as God wants you to know him. That does not mean that you're not saved. That simply means that you are more self-focused than God-focused. That means that you are more concerned about yourself and what you want out of life than you are concerned about what God has for you. Tony Evans says, "David was not in the Bless Me God movement. You know where all we want is a blessing from God. We don't want to live for God. We don't want to serve God. All we want from God is a blessing. Y'all know anybody like that? But David was in the Bless Me Lord movement. He was not in the Bless Me God movement. David was in the I Will Bless the Lord movement, where everything that David did blessed the Lord. That's why we could hear David on any Sabbath worship dancing and shouting, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name." And on the second Sunday, he would say, "I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise will continually be in my mouth." And that old dancing king would come on the third Sunday and say, "I will make my boast in the Lord, for my mouth will bless you with joyous lips." But oh God, on the fourth Sunday, he surely would get the crowd understanding that he's come to bless the Lord. For he would say, "Oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together." Perhaps the problem with the new church, the 21st century church, is that we have become a narcissistic church. We have become a narcissistic church where everything is centered around us, around our politics, around our economics, around our status, around our wants, and around our needs. We are an idolatrous church with our political, social, and personal idols telling us what we should think and what we should do. And we've put all that before our God. So therefore, we have no power and we have no influence. And because everything is centered around us and not around God. But Jesus told us what would happen if the salt lost its saltiness. And it looks like because we say we're salt, but there is no saltiness. We claim we got power, but there is no power. Maybe the salt has lost its saltiness. And Jesus says when the salt loses its saltiness, it's good for nothing but to be trampled under the foot of man. Maybe that's why we got no respect. Maybe that's why our pews in every church in America are now empty. Because the church has lost its power because we are self-centered in all of our ways of life. We take what we want, place it in a religious robe, and say, "God blessed it." The devil is a liar, and God will not be diminished till our level of understanding praise his holy name. Yes, the church has lost its influence and is losing its influence in the world and the power of God because we have lost our reason for being. And that God, that reason for being, is that God has sanctified us. He has set us apart. He has anointed us for the reason, and this reason only, that we might do his will on earth as it is in heaven. And so we find ourselves in a situation where we have imprisoned ourselves within our own misunderstanding. And the biblical history records that when God's people fail to do God's will, they will soon find themselves being carried away into captivity. For centuries, the prophets pleaded with the people to return to your first love. Put your idols away and renew your covenant of love, your covenant of faith with the Lord. But the voices of the prophets fell on deaf ears and hard hearts, and the plaintive plea of God was rejected. And it is within the confines of the painful and punishing reality that God allowed for Babylon to come carry them off into captivity. If you won't be free in me, I'll make you a slave to man. If you won't do my will as my people, because you're called by my name, I'll subject you to the will of somebody who doesn't love you. Somebody say amen. Can you see that going on in the world today? We are subjected to the culture in which we find ourselves in. We don't shape and form the culture. We don't change the situation in life, but we succumb to the culture and all of its trappings, and we find ourselves now imprisoned within a culture that does not love us. And so here they are in the Babylonian slave camps, but in the midst of their problem, in the midst of their misery, there arose an inspired voice from the prophet. And I thank God that even in hopeless situations, God still has a voice. God still has somebody who will declare what thus saith the Lord. The prophet Hananiah was saying that it's going to be all right. We are the people of God, and that God is going to deliver us by Friday. But then Jeremiah came and said, no, no, not so. Don't pack your bags just yet. You're going to be here for a little while. As a matter of fact, you're going to be here for 70 years. But don't you fret, for I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you hope and a future. Then you will call upon me and come and pray to me, and I will listen to you, and you will seek my face and find me, and I will be found. God was letting them know that though you have disobeyed me, I am with you. And though you are in a situation that you don't want to be in, a situation of misery and trouble, I want you to know that I am a God who can bless you in good seasons and bad seasons. You don't have to have a perfect life for God to bless you. Ain't God all right? And I've come today to let somebody know whose life is in shambles that though you may have fallen away from God, there is still hope for you. You have been deliberately walking away from God, and you've rejected God because you refuse to believe. But the good news is, my sister or my brother, that God wants you and knows that you still belong to him. And the miserable life you are living is God's way of letting you know how it feels to live your life without God. Ain't God all right? Yes, the good news is that though you may have given up on God, God
has not given up on you. And he wants you to know that he still has plans for your life. Those words of Jeremiah that he proclaimed over 1,000 years still ring true today. And God has a place at those ancient words in our midst so that we might hear them today and find encouragement. Listen to them. I know the plans I have for you, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you hope and to give you a future. Then, when you call on me, I will listen. You will seek me and you will find me. I will be found by you, declares the Lord. Ain't God all right? Ain't he all right? Ain't he all right? Ain't he all right? Apparently, you've been doing things your own way, and God wanted you to be so dejected in your own life that you will come running to him. Yes, you've rejected the teaching of your youth, and you've chosen to live your life in a way that seemed right to you. And now you are imprisoned by your own choices. Nobody did it to you but God. You can't blame God. You can't blame your mama, your daddy, your sister, or your brother. You are where you are because of the decisions you made. You no longer are free. You're no longer free to dream. You're no longer free to hope. And now that you see what life is like without God, God in his love says, I got you right where I want you to be. Just like the prodigal son. And he calls him out and says, listen, I know you're hurting, but I'm still here. I know you're hurting, but I've always been here. And I know the plans I have for you. I know you disobeyed me and dishonored me, but I have plans to prosper you and not harm you. I know you feel hopeless, but I'm calling you back to me, for I have a future waiting for you. Praise his holy name. But you might say, Tony, you don't know my story. I'm anchored to my past, and I'm reminded every day of the mistakes I've made and the wrong I've done. But I come to tell somebody, so was Israel. And if God gave forgiveness to Israel for the many sins and crimes they committed against God and humanity, you need to know that God will also forgive you. Ain't God all right? God has not given up on you. He still has a plan for your life. God still has a purpose for you. And if God could forgive Israel, sure enough, he can forgive you. If God could forgive Peter, who denied him, sure enough, he will forgive you. If God could forgive Paul, who persecuted his church, sure enough, God can forgive you. But this is what you need to do. You just can't come scrambling back to God as if nothing happened. You've got to prove yourself that you're serious about wanting to come to God. You just can't pray and think everything's all right. But God says, call me and come to me. Then, when you come to me, when you pray, I'll listen to you. Seek me and you will find me. But just don't seek me casually. Seek me with all your heart. And when you do that, I will be found. If you call me and pray me, I will answer. I heard your prayers when you're out there in the world. I heard you when you were in your problems, but I didn't answer you, for you were not living according to my will. But when you come to me with your whole heart, call on me with your whole heart, then I'll answer. Seek me and I'll be found. I've always been there, but because you chose to walk in your own way, to do your own thing, I just watched you and waited for you to fall, because the plans I had for you were not lived by you. Ain't God all right? But if you come and come to me right, if you come with your whole heart, I'll be there. I'll restore you. I'll bless you. I'll prosper you. And I will lift you up. Ain't God all right? You searched all over. Couldn't find nobody. That's because there's nobody greater. Nobody greater than me, says the Lord. I am the Alpha and the Omega. I'm the beginning and I'm the end. I'm the wellspring of life from which the blessings flow. I'm the bread of life that gives purpose and meaning to everyone who eats. I'm the bridge over troubled waters so you won't be destroyed by the troubles of this world. I'm your shelter in the time of storm that protects you when the storms of life are raging. I'm all you need for your life, for in me, whether you realize it or not, you live, move, and have your being. I am the author and the finisher of your life. I am the source that you can't live without. You can do nothing without me. And I alone know the plans I have for you. You've been walking by the opinions and ideas of others, but I'm your God. I called you. I created you. I saved you. Nobody can love you like I love you. I have your best interest in heart. I want it more badly than you want it for yourself. So if you call on me, I will answer. When you call on me, I will make a way out of a no way. I will be there when nobody else will. I'll stand with you when you stand by yourself. I'm your help and I'm your support. I'm your life and I'm your breath. If you want to know anything in life, come to me and you'll have an answer. Yeah, yeah, God is able. Don't you know God is able? He'll make a way out of no way. He'll turn your midnights in the day, put food on your table. That's just because he wants to show you that he is able. Say yeah, 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 oh yeah. Thank you.
I'm through now. But I want to leave with you a brief addendum to this message that I hope you'll find useful. Let me give you just a little bit of spiritual advice. If you find yourself without hope and without purpose in life, and here it is, the reason that God saved you, and this is the reason while you're still alive, God wants you to serve this generation. And the only way for you to serve God is to serve others. And it's in the process of serving others that you will find healing for your soul. It is only in the process of changing your direction away from yourself and start caring for someone else that you will discover your purpose. For God doesn't care how well you preach. God doesn't care how much you give. God doesn't care how sanctified you think you are. If you don't serve somebody, you don't know our God. For God is about service. And if you want to come out of your gloomy party of self-pity, if you want to rise from the depression that you find yourself in, if you find that you are imprisoned by your own mistakes in life, the only way that you can rise from that and be restored to emotional health, joy, purpose, and a reason for being is to serve somebody. For the greatest among us is servant. So my advice to you, my sister or my brother, who's trying to find God's will for your life, is to stop looking for what you can do and just start where you are, doing for others, and you will discover God's plan for your life. And you will come to know God, for only in our knowing God will we know our reason for living. And all of God's people said amen, 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 and amen.